This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. It's 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down Port O'Connor way now. Let's check in with Captain Lynn Smith, see how he's doing this morning. Happy Easter, Lynn. What's up, buddy?
Oh, man. It's just the wind's been horrible, hasn't it?
it's been a cranking, baby.
Oh, man. I tell you what, I fished Wednesday and Thursday, and that wind, you had trouble keeping your hat on, I guarantee you.
I'm telling you, brother.
It was howling. Gosh almighty. Now, I was listening to you talking about somebody got attacked by a bobcat.
Yeah.
And
turkey
you know,
hunter.
So, yeah. Oh, I don't doubt it. You know, we had a turkey hunter on the ranch that they was kneeling down in the grass, and they were calling, and a coyote came running out of the grass and bit one of the guys on the arm.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And the old boy was from Abilene, and he ended up coming down to POC and fished with me. And I asked him, I said, well, did it break the skin? He said, no, it didn't break the skin. I said, well, that's a good thing. I mean, you know, if it had broken the skin, I'd gone straight to the doctor, straight to the hospital.
Yeah, I guarantee you, you never know about those coyotes. They can get rabid pretty easy.
You better know it. But, you know, people have to realize, I mean, you're out there in nature. I mean, hey, you're in their domain,
you know?
That's right. That's right. I mean, you got to know you can expect anything. I mean, you got snakes, you got bobcats, mountain lions, you got everything. So, you know, you're in their territory. So anything can happen. I guarantee you. Guarantee you. But, yeah, especially, in, you know, turkey season. I mean, everything's hunting those turkeys, you know. You're not the only ones hunting them.
No. Nope.
I guarantee you, you can walk up on anything. You can be a mountain lion or a bobcat, either one. So, you got to be ready.
Yes.
I guarantee you. But,
people, you know, they look at all these wild animals and, you know, like they're fur babies. I mean, wanting to pet. I saw one the other day, somebody trying to pet a buffalo out the window of a car, and that buffalo just headbutted them, you know?
I mean,
it's just crazy.
Oh, I'm telling you.
Feeding wild bears. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they don't they don't understand. Yeah, they've seen too many shows on TV, you know? Way too many. I guarantee you. No, that... These are wild animals.
Yes.
Yes, they are. Man. And they're still wild, believe me.
Yeah.
Guarantee it.
Yeah, they're real cute right up to the time they bite you or take your head off, you know.
Isn't that the truth? It's like these javelinas, same deal.
Yeah.
You know, you know, you might be throwing them little food, little tidbits and stuff till they come after you and rip your leg open. You know, they're pretty vicious.
Those javelinas are bad little dudes, man.
Oh man, I'm telling you, like a buzzsaw. I guarantee you. Oh man, they got some pretty mean tusks on them. They really do.
They do, and they're sharp. They don't look sharp, but they are.
They are. When they're sitting there snapping their teeth at you, oh man, they're sharper than those tusks when they're snapping those teeth.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you. They showed a deal on TV here a while back, and they were it was on Parks and Wildlife Show or something, and they were talking about javelina, and this woman was attacked. They had the javelina in the neighborhood, and this woman was just talking about how they weren't pigs, you know, and all this, but they're javelinas, and then all of a sudden, you know, she's out in the yard with them. Well, one attacked her, and then they showed her leg, and it was opened up from her ankle all the way up to her knee.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, she had stitches. You wouldn't believe. I don't know how many stitches that took. But, man, oh, man, she learned her lesson.
Well, I remember John Nelson, one of his quail dogs got opened up by one, and he had to take him to clear the foul furious and get him sewed back up, put his guts back in. That was something else.
Oh,
it happens fast, dude.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. Yeah, it can happen real fast. Yeah. It's just like, I've seen where we had a big old hog in a trap, and the guys didn't want to kill him. They just want to let him go. And I went, well, guys, you better get back in the truck, you know.
Yeah, get up in the bed of that truck, and somebody stand on top of that trap and open the door and let him out. Let him out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, you better. Because when he comes out of the trap, he's coming after you. He's
it's
mad.
Like those
he's
bears
unhappy.
When they release them back in the wild out of that, you know, tube they're in. You better be secure somewhere when that gate comes open on that tube. That bear comes out of there. He's not happy.
No, he's not. He's not. We had a 10-point buck in a trap.
Big
trap. And I mean, he was a good one too. He was pretty wide and everything. He was hung up in the trap, and we were gonna let him out. And I told these guys, I said, guys, now don't think he's coming out happy, you know.
Right.
I mean, he was raking his horns in that trap, and boy, he was not a happy deer, you know. And I said, now let's get way back here, buddy, and you better get some cover because he's coming out mad. And boy, he finally came out of that trap, and luckily he was pretty tired because he'd been in that trap all night. No telling how many hours he'd been in there. And but he came out of that trap and he looked at us pretty serious, and then he ran off staggering and stumbling, and but he ran off. But I told those guys, I said, guys, he could come after you real easy, and that set of horns he had on him, he could hurt you big time. Big time. But these animals, they're coming out of those traps mad. They want revenge, I guarantee you. I guarantee you that. But no, out there in nature, you got to be prepared, man. You know, it's just not all fun and games, I guarantee you. And right now the snakes are out too, so you got to be prepared too. This ranch manager, the George West. I think I sent you that picture, didn't I? The ranch manager.
Oh, the turkey blind.
Yeah, he checking that turkey blind. He said he moved the chair, and that rattlesnake was underneath the chair. And he said he was an honest 6-footer, had 15 rattles on him, one and a button.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah.
Yeah, how about sliding in there before daybreak and sitting down in that chair?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, that'll get your attention.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. That's what always worries me about a pop-up stand. if it doesn't have a floor in it, especially, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always leery about that.
I'm not good with that.
No.
Not in South Texas.
No, especially South Texas.
Well, in East Texas, you got to worry about timber rattlers and copperheads, mm-hmm. and water moccasins, and they like cover too.
Yes, they do.
You know,
yes, they do. Yes, they do. But boy, I tell you what, those in South Texas, man, oh man, it's bad. It's real bad.
Yeah, that's man, that's snake country.
And they're big.
Yeah, they are.
Good grief. You know, they're George West, we had these guys from Pennsylvania that came down to hunt. And they came down on a big hunt, and they were in tennis shoes. And I said, "My God, buddy, don't y'all realize this is South Texas, man?" And I said, "We got rattlesnakes down here." And I said, these rattlesnakes down here are big, you know. And they were bow hunters. And one of them shot a deer, and he shot it late in the afternoon. Well, of course, it ran off. And we had to go out there and track this deer in the dark. And they were tracking the deer in the dark in tennis shoes. And we tracked that deer about 100 yards. And all of a sudden, man, one of these guys came running past me, screaming, you know, "Snake, snake." And he came running past me. I said, "Well, where is he?" "Well, he's right back there. He's right back there." And he ran past me. And I said, "Well, stop, stop." I said, what kind of snake?" He said, "I don't know, but I videoed him. Took a picture of him." I said, "Well, come here. Let me look at it. Hold on." Well, it was about a 6-foot rattler is what it was. And, you know, he almost stepped on him. And I said, "Oh, my goodness." Yeah. And they're out there running around in tennis shoes in the dark.
I said, "Not me. You're going to go traipsing around in the brush after a deer, you better have some snake boots on, buddy."
You better. I guarantee you. I've worn out a couple pairs of snake boots, but that's okay. We had one of the guys on the ranch that guided with us for years, and he never had a pair of snake boots.
Lucky man.
They just never fit him. I said, "Well, yeah, okay. Well, you're going to end up in the hospital sooner or later."
Well, it'd be a lot easier to go through all the trouble to find a comfortable pair that'll fit you and pay the money for them than what a snake bite will do to you.
Yeah, I got hit on the boots one time. It was in tall grass, but it was in Johnson City, actually. And on a friend of mine's place up there, and I was walking back to the Jeep right at dark, and I was just getting ready to step into the Jeep, and that snake hit me on the boots, and I felt him. Boy, I mean, he popped me, you know, on a boot, and I sure was glad I had him. But I mean, there's no doubt what it is when it happens, you know.
Well, the thing, the big problem too is, you know, when you're down on these ranches in deep South Texas, in the middle of nowhere, man, you're an hour or better from a hospital.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, they're at the ranch there in George West, right there by the phone. We've got, you know, the number of the life flight and everything right there by the phone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we definitely have that. They can fly in there and land right there by the ranch house, pick you up. But yeah, you're far away from help, no doubt.
Life flight, man, what a game changer that was for saving lives, man.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing.
It is.
Really is.
Regardless.
A lot of people died back in the day because we didn't have anything like that.
Oh, I know.
You know?
I know. Yeah, you don't want to be hit by a rattlesnake. No, no,
no
way.
No, 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 no.
No.
I'd rather.
No.
You'd rather get hit by a ray or bit by a shark, believe me. The rehab off a bad snake bite is, man, that's nasty. Hang on, Lynn. Let me knock this break out, buddy. I'll be right back at you. Hang with me.
All righty.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the 36th annual CCA Texas Star Tournament. It's brought to you by your Texas Ford dealers, Progressive Insurance, and Academy Sports and Outdoors. That's coming up Memorial Day weekend. It's right around the corner, so get signed up today and take advantage of up to $1.9 million in prizes and scholarships for inshore and offshore divisions. 120 tagged redfish will be released in Texas inshore waters up and down the coast, and you could change your life with a new truck and boat package and other species to fish for, like gaff top, drum, and sheephead. Offshore fish for great prizes when you catch red snapper, ling, dolphin, and kingfish. Go to startournament.org for rules, entry, and prize information. And the CCA Star Tournament is brought to you by great sponsors like Mercury Marine, Lone Star Beer, Hoff Power Polaris, Mouty Boats, Texas Fish and Game Magazine, ABC 13, Cryptek, and Coastline Trailers. Go to startournament.org or call 713-626-4222. Sign up today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 5:18 here in the Bayou City. All right, Liam, we're back, my friend. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, I did see, I guess it was Thursday, I did see a pretty good shark in the bay. I just climbed it back in the boat, and I told my customer, I said, look at this, look coming here. And about a six-foot shark came swim right up to the boat.
Oh, yeah.
But
that's nice.
I couldn't tell what it was, what kind it was. But anyway, I just stepped back in the boat, and I said, well, I guess
he probably followed you
back
to the boat.
He probably did.
Puppy
dog. He probably
you.
Did. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
So, oh, yeah. But anyway, he was welcoming us back. Oh, yeah. Well, the water was warm. When I got out of the boat that morning, I made the comment. I said, boy, that water is really warmed up. You know, it was about 74 degrees or better.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, oh, yeah. Well, the bottom's a lot of grass and mud. And I said, yeah, that water is really warm in here. And, the fish were there, and so was the shark. So, you know.
It's amazing how the sharks are always where the food is.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Isn't mm-hmm. it amazing?
Yep. And the stingrays were there, too.
Oh, yep. Yeah. Aren't they like member of the shark family or something?
I don't know. They might be. I saw a video the other day.
They ought to be.
Oh, isn't that the truth? I saw a video the other day on Facebook or something. It looked like from a drone, and it showed a stingray was swimming. Boy, he was trying to get away, and it was a big old shark. And the shark just swam over and just swallowed that stingray.
Eat them
just
all.
Just inhaled him. Yeah.
Eat every one of them.
Truth? Isn't that the truth? Gobble them up, buddy. Gobble them up.
Hey, I was talking to a guy the other day. His granddaughter's into skeet shooting. I think she's about 12 years old and, you know, shoots on the school team and all that. And Blaine's grandson does the same thing. And he was, he said, yeah, when you talk to Lynn, ask him about the Peter's True Blue story. He said it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Remember
the blue
all
magic?
Those paper shells and everything we used to shoot back in the day when we were kids? Paper shotgun shells.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've still got some. I've still got some paper shells. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've still got some paper shells. Yeah, we used to shoot paper shells. In fact, one of my favorite paper shells was a federal paper. In fact, the number of it was T-122 paper. And I shot that load in competition. I broke a lot of 100 straights with that load. But it was a that was a good shooting load. And in 12 gauge. But man, I used to love that load. And in fact, I still had a couple of boxes of it. And we had a little reunion here a while back. And my five-man team, we got together at the Dallas Gun Club. And we got together, kind of a reunion, and I brought a box of those shells. And so we were going to shoot around a skeet together. And I pulled those shells out. And I said, guys, you're not going to believe this. And I stepped the pair, and I shot the first target of those shells, and they had a distinct smell.
Oh, yeah. Remember that smell out of the powder back then? It was way different.
Oh, yeah. And, in fact, a couple of the people on the squad said, oh, my gosh, smell that? Oh, it brought back memories, you know?
Yes.
It really did. I mean, it had a distinct smell. But, yeah. Oh, yeah. It was talking about the blue, the blue magic shells. We had when we were shooting together as a five-man team. We were shooting in Savannah, Georgia, at the World Championships, and you shoot in five-man team and 12 gauge. You shoot 250 targets per person in the 12 gauge event.
Right,
and so. We would shoot 100 targets the first day per person. And the first day in the 12-gauge event, I think our squad missed a couple of targets or something like that, two or three targets. And the second day, our five-man team, we didn't miss a target. We broke 500 straight. We broke 500 straight. And I don't think it had ever been done. And so, boy, people were gathered around, and they were congratulating us and all this stuff. And somebody said, well, what kind of shells are y'all using? Well, back then, Remington Peters had given us ammo. And so I pulled a shell out of my pocket. I still had some extras. And I said, this is what we were using. And I said, these are Blue Magic. Well, this Remington rep was there, Jimmy Prawl, and he picked up on that. And about 2 weeks later, they came out with a full page ad in the Field and Stream magazine, and it was a picture of a black lab with the Peter's box in his mouth.
Right,
and
I remember that.
And our team was called the Texas Whiz Kids. Because I was the oldest guy on the team. All these young guys that were on the team.
Right.
And it said, the ad said, they call themselves the Texas Whiz Kids, and they call our shells Blue Magic. That's what they called it.
And I remember the commercials of Remington Peters' True Blue shotgun shells.
True Blues. Yep.
And I used to love buying those when I was a kid, like at a Gibson's Discount Center, wherever they sold a lot of them. That's where we'd buy all our stuff, the duck hunt and all that. And it'd have the mallard duck on the front of the box, you know, true blue feeders.
And it always had that lab with that box in his mouth.
Yeah,
remember that?
Buddy, that's good stuff, man.
Oh, it was good shells, real good shells. Oh, Jimmy Prawl was the Remington rep, and man, he was a good shooter. And I shot with him in New Orleans one time on the same squad with him. And man, he was a good shooter.
Yeah,
unbelievable. But incredible guy. He's still around, but long time retired, of course. But yeah, Remington took care of us. They gave us ammo a lot, and we supported them big time. Remington and Federal both, they did a lot of the shoots back then, but it was all good ammo. When I first started shooting, heck, the shells in the 410, they didn't even have plastic wads for the 410 shells. They had fiber wads. Oh, they were horrible patterns with the shells. When they came out with the plastic wads for the 410s, oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Man, that was great. They patterned it a lot better. But yeah, you don't get a hold.
Uncle Jimmy giving me shoe boxes full of, you know, paper shells and 12 gauge and 410 when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And we would take a single shot barrel shotgun or a, you know, an over and under or side by side, and we'd shove those shells in them, go through them, make sure they weren't swollen up, hadn't been damp, because they'd, you know, once they got damp, they'd swell up, and then, you know, they'd stick.
Yeah.
You couldn't, they'd jam, especially
in
your pumps. And so we quit, we'd go through all those shells and then sort them out. And call out the swollen ones.
I was down in Raymondville years and years ago. We were down there white wing hunting. This was back when you couldn't hunt white wings till noon, you know,
right.
And on the valley. And so we were down there, a whole bunch of us, friends of mine, and we stopped in a 7-Eleven and we were buying drinks and stuff and fixing the, you know, getting ready for the hunt. And a buddy of mine said, "Well, man, this is a pretty good price on these shells here." I said, "Man, I got plenty of shells." And so we were buying drinks and whatever. And I turned around and looked, and they had 28-gauge Winchester shells stacked up for $2 a box. Huh. And I went, "Oh, my goodness." I mean, and they were paper shells, 28-gauge Winchester paper shells, $2 a box. I said, "How many do you have in the back? Do you have any more?" And this guy went, "No, that's about it. I had like a case and a half." And I said, I'll take them all. And I bought all of them. Man, that was a bargain, believe me.
Yeah, no joke.
28 gauge.
$2 a box.
Yeah, and I've still got them. I still got some of them.
Man, but, can you believe how expensive shotgun shells are now?
It's scary. It really is scary.
I think Bob was telling me that his son and them, they load their own. And it's still, you know, it costs $7 a box, you know, to shoot skeet with.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I used to have four loaders, Pontus Warren loaders, lined up. And I just go down the lines, load them up. And it got to where all I loaded were 410s. That's what I practiced with. I load 410 shells. I told you I bought a half a ton of shot. You know, I bought 1,000 pounds of number 9 extra hard shot, and I loaded it in just 410s, half ounce loads, and I shot it up in 6 months.
Man,
yeah,
man.
1,000 pounds. But, yeah.
I mean, these big-time skeet shooters and stuff, how many rounds when they, you know, they practice every day, how many rounds a day do they normally cycle?
Well, you don't want to shoot a whole lot. you know, I would go out and I didn't want to shoot more than four rounds a day.
Yeah.
And the reason, because you burn out. And if you started missing, then that's bad. You know, right. I mean, I'd go out some days. I'd be practicing with a 410. There were days where I might break 75 straight with a 410 and I'd put the gun in the truck.
Right.
And people say, well, you don't want to break 100. I know. Why should I? Why do I want to shoot another round? I might miss,
yeah.
You know, and then I'd worry about that target that I'm missing. So no, you know, I'm doing fine.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm doing okay. So anyway, but normally I wouldn't want to shoot more than about four rounds a day. And then I would practice Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday. You know, Friday I would either practice or I'd go to a shoot, head to a shoot after work, and head to someplace for a shoot. There were days when we'd fly to someplace. To,
right. You know,
we might be flying to Detroit or New York, or we'd fly to California or somewhere.
Man.
We're flying all over the country and shooting. So, you know, we competed all over the country. And we had a five-man team, and we had some good shooters, you know. We competed against...
Did y'all wear hearing protection back in the day?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah. You know, earplugs, molded earplugs. But, you know, you pick up hearing behind the ear. So, consequently, I lost a lot of my hearing from the shooting.
Well, for your age, you hear pretty good.
No.
You don't?
No. I wear hearing aids.
Oh, do you? Okay. But,
oh, yeah. But, I mean, they wanted me to wear earplugs and earmuffs, you know. Mm. But trust me, that's hard to do. That's really hard to do.
Yeah. Well, like if I go to the gun range, I'll wear my, you know, plugs. And then I'll put my Walker's game ears over those, and then I can turn them on. I can hear what's going on somewhat.
Yeah. That's a whole different story, like on a rifle range, you know, or something like that.
But yeah, because you're not shooting as many rounds as like shotgunning, man.
No. But and two, in reality, on shooting a ski range, you may not realize it, but you're actually depending on hearing that trap too.
Right.
Hearing that trap go off, you know, you're relying on that too. And, you may not realize it, but you are.
Right.
So there's a lot of things you're dependent on.
You got it. So, all right. Anyway. Let me do another break, Lynn. I'll be right back, man. This is going quick.
All right, man.
All right. Hang with me. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke. They're at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be, and there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament catch than with the Oxygen Response System. Check them out firsthand at the store. If you need more info, call Jason at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp. No farmed-raised at Boyd's. It's all wild-caught. And all their different sizes and selection, price, availability, it's always there for you at Boyd's. And their crawfish central, I mean, this time of year, it's unbelievable how many crawfish they turn out of this place. Whether you're looking to buy them by the sack or if you want them already pre-cooked, their Cajun Grill in their Santa Fe location do a fantastic job. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 5:39 here in the Bayou City. Okay, Lynn, we're back.
Yeah, I wanted to say this. I never took a lesson, a skeet shooting lesson. I learned by watching the good shooters. Mm-hmm. And what I did, when I first saw my first skeet field, I went out there and I sat down just to watch, and you pick out the good shooters. You know, you right. see a good shooter. And I watched how they stood. I watched where they held their gun, where they pointed their gun, and everything about them. I mean, how they stood, where they pointed the gun, you know, where they shot the target. I mean, everything about them. And anyway, that's the way I learned. And then I would go and I'd practice the way they stood and everything about them. Mm-hmm. Well, I never forget, I went to the state shoot one year in Waco, and there was one shooter, young shooter, that I'd heard so much about, and I'd heard how good he was and all that. And when I went to sign up at the shoot, I asked if he was there. And then they told me at the registration, I said, yeah, he's out there on a practice field. So I went out there and I sat down on a bench and I watched him. And I'm not kidding you, this kid was so smooth that it made chill go up my back to watch this kid. He was so good. And I mean, I watched that kid just smooth as he could be. And there was a guy, an older guy that from Austin, I'll never forget him, that was shooting with him. And he came back over to the sidelines. He was shaking his head. And I said, what's the matter? He said, that boy is knocking the nose off of every target. And he said, I asked him, well, what's the matter? And he said, he told me he was shooting these factory loads that his dad told him to shoot. And he said, he said, well, these factory loads are faster than my reloads. And he said, so I'm knocking the nose off every target. The kid went over and picked up a box of his hand loads, and he was center punching every target, just smoking them every target.
Wow.
And he said, I knew right then I wasn't in his class.
Amazing.
I wasn't in his league. Yeah. That's how smooth that kid was.
Mm-mm-mm.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah.
You know, that's a big deal in these school shooting teams now. I mean, it's a pretty good craze right now. I hear a lot about it all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got invited to go out to a sporting clays shoot. And I said, heck, I don't shoot sporting clays. I haven't picked up a shotgun in years. And the guy that invited me said, that's okay. We'll just go out and have fun. I said, okay. So I went out there. And there were some kids that were in a couple of those schools like that. And mm-hmm. they were out there shooting. And these kids were fantastic.
Yeah.
They were really, really good. And I was really impressed watching those kids.
There's nothing like young eyes and young reflexes. And it just.
Oh. Man,
it's hell to get old, Lynn.
Oh, tell me. When we were in that reunion, it was so funny. I was in that reunion up in Dallas, and we stepped up there and started shooting. And I said, boy, these targets are fast. I said, oh, have they always been this fast? But, you know, it's hell to get old. It really is. Yeah. But that's the way it is.
Young gun fishermen, you know, that just you look at it and go, man, I remember when I was like that, all gung-ho and so, you know, excited and pumped up. And now at our age, you just kind of go through the motion. We still have the skills and everything, but we don't have that exciting drive that you used to get, you know, when you were young and dumb, I guess. I don't know
how
to explain it.
I mean, we know what to look for. You know,
we know how to find them, what to do. We know how to cast. We know how to work every lure in the tackle box, but we don't have that. I mean, I still enjoy it. Don't get me wrong, but it's not the same as it was 30 and 40 years ago on the.
I know.
You know how you get that feeling, you know, it's just kind of routine now.
Yeah. I know. And there's so many boats on the water. That's the thing that gets me. I mean, I'm used to going down like around Panther Point and areas like that and never, ever see another boat all day, you know.
I know.
Not another boat.
I hate fishing and having to look over my shoulder and, you know,
Mm-hmm.
If you got a fish on, you got to hide it, because if you don't, if they see the splashing around your rod, man, they're coming in. They're coming. It's just human nature.
A friend of mine,
they can't stand it.
A friend of mine fished yesterday, and he told me that, two of my buddies, and he said they were on some good fish, and he said they almost got run over by some guys. And he said, man, he said, you know, he said, need to teach some people etiquette.
That's been going on for as long as we've been around. I mean, the etiquette thing is, I think it's a little worse now. I grew up in some good times, you know, on Trinity Bay. We just had a method of fishing. If somebody didn't pull their hat off and wave it at you, just keep going. Don't even think about stopping and pulling in on that guy or the structure he's fishing. Let him have it. He was there first. It's his.
Right.
Let him have it.
Exactly. And, you know, when I go out scouting and stuff, if I know fish are in a spot that I fished yesterday, I don't even fish there.
I don't even look at it. Don't even stop.
No. I go somewhere else. Because if I go out with customers and I go to that spot that I know fish are there and somebody's there, I just go somewhere else.
Yeah, you got to have backups.
You got to have backups. And some of these people, they just whip in there, you know, because they know the fish are there and they pull in there too. I mean, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do it. I just can't get over some of these people. They need to teach them etiquette on the water. I mean, good grief. You better have more than one spot. You better. It just drives me crazy. But like I said, I'd be down there waiting from Panther Point to Ayers Dugout and never see another boat all day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'd rather be by myself, you know, and left alone and catch a handful of fish than to have to fight somebody in other boats to, you know, catch a boatload of fish.
Oh, yeah.
I like the peace and tranquility.
Yeah, I do too. That's what it's about, you know. And see the nature, you know, be out there in nature.
That's it.
Oh, man, yeah. Well, you know, like a friend of mine keeps saying, he says, you know, we grew up in the best time. You know, we did.
I agree.
We grew up in the best time.
You didn't hear with 25 speakers in their boat and a sound system,
man,
and all that like they do now. It's just, you can hear them coming.
I had some customers go on a boat here a while back, this last year, and one of the guys had a boom box he brought.
What'd he bring, one of those turtle boxes?
I guess
it is. Phone? Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. And it was a, this was a boom box about 2 feet long.
Oh.
I mean, this thing.
A real boom box. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And he cranked it up and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what am I going to say to this guy? You know, and here we go, run back into one of the lakes and we're trying to catch redfish and this guy's turned this boom box on. Well, this isn't going to work. And I set up a drift in this lake, and immediately, you know, I tell him, hey guy, you need to turn this off. Oh man, I like this music. To me it wasn't even music, you know. And I said, buddy, you need to shut that off. We're trying to catch redfish, and trust me, they're real sensitive to sound, and you need to shut that off. And it offended him. He didn't like that. He wanted to hear the music, you know. And I said, first off, that isn't music, you know. And I don't know what it is, but please turn it off. And it kind of made him mad. But, you know, what is it with these people, you know? I said, you're running off more fish than you're catching. You know, come on.
Man.
Yeah. Man. But I hear those boats go by. Hear the boom box over the sound of the motors. Oh my goodness.
I got a text from a listener said, Mickey, would you ask Lynn if he knows a Jeff Birmingham?
Yes.
He was a shooter. Yeah.
Oh, that brings back an old name, I guarantee you. Yes. Yes. That brings back a memory. Yeah. Sure did. Yes, I did. But anyway.
Well.
Brings back some memories.
Yep. A lot of water under the bridge.
Oh gosh, yes. Yes, yes.
And I just got a text from another listener said, getting old. He said, I call one of these facial aging services. They said, send us your picture and we'll get back with you in 7 to 10 days. Well, I sent my pic and they called me back immediately and said, no, said not necessary. You're okay. Whatever that means.
Oh God.
So I guess he's bragging that he's not aging.
No.
Well,
I used to sit with old Grant Elsing and out at Greater Houston Gun Club, and we just shoot the bull, you know. And old Grant was a great guy, and he really was a nice guy. And he used to teach a lot of people, but you know, he was a good fellow. And I think I told the story before, but one of the funniest stories he told me was he said he got invited on a duck hunt in South Louisiana, uh-huh, in some big lodge. And it was funny because he said it was a real exclusive lodge. And he said they'd put you in a piro, and with a young colored boy would pull you around. And he said he was sitting up front. And he had a Model 12 gauge laying on his lap. This young colored boy was pulling him around, and he said, that colored boy said, Mr. Hilsing, are you a good shot? And Grant said, well, I'm fair. I'm fair shot. Why? He said, well, all the boys in the lodge, he said, we have a bet going. And he said, the one that comes in with the most ducks wins the pot. And he said, no sooner than that kid said that, he said, there were two black mallards jumped up out of the marsh, and Grant picked up that Model 12 from his waist and just boom, boom, fired two shots from his waist and folded those two ducks. He said, that kid's eyes got real big, and he said, you'll do, you'll do. And he starts pulling real fast, pulling through that marsh, man. He said, that was hilarious, man. He said, he said they had a great time, a lot of fun.
Yeah, but, buddy.
But old Grant was a character, man. He really was. They held a Grant Elsing shoot at Greater Houston Gun Club years ago. And the first Grant Elsing shoot they held, I won it. And they had a trophy out there at that gun club. And I went out there a while back, and I was hoping that they still had it. I was going to give them a picture. I've got a picture of me standing there with Grant and with the trophy. And but I didn't see the trophy. I was hoping they still had it there, but maybe they got it in a closet or something. But anyway, I was hoping they still had it.
Yeah. I got another text for you. Let's see here. He said, ask Lynn if he knew a shooter named Trent Hudson.
No, that name doesn't ring a bell.
Yeah.
Doesn't ring a bell.
All right, Lynn. Well, we'll leave it at that, buddy. I got to run. If somebody wants to call you about coming down to Port O'Connor and making a weight or cutting a drift, how they get a hold of you, man?
Yes, sir. They give me at 361-935-6833.
All right, brother. Lynn, have a good Easter, and always good talking to you, man.
You too, man. You have a good one.
See you. Take care.
All right, man.
All right.
Bye.
Well, hey, anglers, are you ready to hook into something big? It's time for the Matagorda Slam Fishing Tournament. That's happening Friday, April the 25th, down in Matagorda, Texas. They're kicking things off Thursday night on the 24th. Join them at the captain's meeting in Calcutta, dinner at Rusty Hook Ranch, along with Rudy's Barbecue, cold drinks, and you get a chance to get in on action before the lines even hit the water. So then it's game on, safe flight launch Friday morning, and weigh in from 2 to 4 p.m. at the Matagorda Harbor. Bring your A game, your best team, and your lucky rods. Entry is just $400 per team. Here's the best part. Your entry includes all-you-can-eat crawfish on Saturday at the legendary Matagorda Slam Crawfish Cook-Off. Proceeds benefit the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association, helping get more kids on the water and into the great outdoors. Spots are filling fast, so register today at matagordaslam.com. That's matagordaslam.com, and get ready to slam.